Our presentation is A Beginner's Mind by Reverend Matt Aspen. Reverend Matt is our full-time contract minister for this year. His presentation today is entitled Beginner's Mind and relates to our third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations.
I know I'm going to be talking for a while, so I'd like to involve you all for just a moment here, if you would be so willing to repeat after me. It is good.
It is good.
It is good to be.
It is good to be.
And now this one real loud. It is good to be together.
It is good to be together.
That's it. Isn't that the truth, though? It's really good to be together. About 9:15 on a warm summer's night many years ago. It was July 4th, actually, and hundreds of us had just danced in a field to some really good live music. Do y'all remember that? Hopefully that's coming back soon. When the music stopped, my family made our way back to the spot where we had set our blankets. My daughter was up way past her bedtime, and despite the nap she had taken, was probably about 30 minutes away from that point of no return that parents of young children know so well. I'm sure at this point, her young mind was racing. We were in a new place. We had just danced and laughed and sang with all these people that she didn't know. She just knew it had been fun. And even though she knew that we had come to see something called fireworks, in hindsight, I'm aware that she didn't even really know what that was. She just knew she got to be outside in a field, dancing and running around and laughing without a care in the world. And then it happened. That first small firework went up, announcing as they do that the show was about to start. As the first sparkles began to fade in the sky, she cast her eyes up to see just what would happen next. The next one was a doozy. One of those really big bursts of color that looked like a painting of a giant red, yellow, and orange flower illuminating the whole sky. And then another one went off, and another one. After those few retorts, I don't think I saw another firework in that whole show. Sitting on that blanket as a new dad, I turned my gaze to the miracle standing right next to me. Her face level with mine, her head tilted up to the heavens, her eyes opened as wide as they possibly could go, trying to take in all that was happening in the sky above her. Her tiny voice screaming an impassioned crescendo. Wow! 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 It's one of my most treasured memories. Because in that moment, I was reminded so vividly of a truth that can be so easy to forget in the hustle and bustle of adulthood. Every single moment of this life that we get to experience is a miracle. I lost the short video I took of that moment, a loss that forced me to practice the Buddhist concept of non-attachment. But that's a topic for another time. In the meantime, here is another moment of my daughter experiencing the world through the eyes of a child. This time when I took her to the symphony in Seattle and told her to look up to see the 50-foot-tall Chihuly glass sculpture hanging above her. If you've ever seen one of those, they can make you look like this. Different object, same result. Awe, wonder, and amazement. And a rapid attempt to make sense of something that doesn't fit neatly into any of the boxes she had already begun creating to make sense of her world. I'm going to talk today about the Zen concept Shoshin, or beginner's mind. I can think of no better illustration of what this looks like as a practice than to think about how children approach their world. Because for them, everything is actually new. They approach each new thing with a deep reservoir of curiosity. Their minds are so malleable, as state psychologists used to call tabula rasa, or blank slate. In this place, it is as if each new experience acts as a brush, painting a new memory into the synapses of their young brains, connecting similar dots, strengthening new paths, slowly piecing together each and every new experience into a narrative that makes enough sense to help them navigate this nearly incomprehensible world into which they have emerged. Somewhere along the way, if we're not careful, many of us end up losing that sense of wonder. We've seen fireworks 100 times, it's humid, the bugs are out tonight, kids on the blanket next to ours passed that point of toddler return 10 minutes ago, and we've got to get to bed because we've got an early day at the office tomorrow. Besides, fireworks are ultimately for kids, right? We're all grown up now. We have far more important things to pay attention to. These past few months, I've been enjoying a gift rarely afforded to someone of my advancing age. It is a gift of being a true beginner once again, both in this profession called ministry and in this community you call Prairie. I can ask any question that comes to mind, even about the most elementary facts about church. Who chairs that committee again? How do you work the thermostat and that new heater? How come when I do that, it doesn't seem to get any warmer in the basement? Why is the person that I see listed as frequently running your auction named Orange? And what in the world is a nifty gifty? Counter this to the warning I've told you was shared from longtime member Rosemary Dorney during my first visit here. I'll remind you that she said to me, "I've been coming here for 40 years. It is pretty unlikely you're going to say anything I haven't heard many times before." Now, before you go thinking that Rosemary needs to be mailed a hard copy transcript of the service to get a lesson on the concept of beginner's mind, counter this with a conversation I had with her over lunch a few months ago. "You know," she said, in her very Rosemary way, "the world has changed a lot since we started Prairie all those years ago. Women were the main drivers of the church back then, but we had a different place in society. What we created made sense at the time, but I'm not even sure if it's possible to maintain it like that now. So much has changed. Folks have busier lives. I think we're going to need to think differently about how we do church if we're going to keep being able to do this thing for another 50 years. Amen, Rosemary. Way to show us how to be open to new possibilities through the lens of a beginner's mind. The world has changed, but I don't think our basic human needs have changed at all. And these hungers continue to need to be fed in a way that I believe a church community like this is uniquely designed to deliver. Now, I've been with you a fairly long time, not as long as many of you in this room, but a fairly long time. I've been to seminary, I've attended UU services around the country. But I heard a new perspective here last week that really made me stop and rethink everything I thought I knew about how I've been considering a church like this one. It actually happened last week during the Joys and Concerns, when Renee was sharing that her children had missed a final opportunity to see a grandparent before they had passed. You may recall that she said, "One of the things I really love about coming to Prairie is that my kids get to be surrounded by so many wonderful grandparent figures." Now, I've read a good bit about Bowen family theory, and I've known intellectually that church systems and work systems and any place where people get together will often exhibit the same dysfunctions similar to those found in families. I can tell you all about triangulation and projection, and ways to minimize the harmful effects of such things. But it was Renee's framing of the elders of this community serving as surrogate grandparents for the next generations that really caused my mind to shift and can us really as being like an extended family. And yes, I know I've even heard that said before. Prairie is like a family. But it took Renee's image of grandparents to really allow my mind to consider this community in a whole new way. And from there, all the connections were between the dots in my mind that outlined my picture of what it meant to be a member of a church like this one. It's really exciting things. As we begin to emerge from this pandemic, hopefully for good, our first inclination will be to go back to all the way things were before. It's a natural human tendency. The more the world veers from what we have grown accustomed to, the more we crave the comfort of things that have brought us comfort in the past. But there is no back there to go to. As Rosemary noted, societal shifts that were already long in coming have been amplified by the pandemic. As we begin to reemerge from this unchosen 2 years of forced separation, we are stepping back into a world that has been altered in ways that we are beginning to get glimpses of, but are nowhere near fully able to grasp yet. As we find ourselves pulled back to the comfort of what was, now is also the perfect time to consider all that we do here in community through the lens of a beginner's mind. Approaching life with a beginner's mind is actually one of the foundational principles of any liberal faith tradition. James Luther Adams wrote in 1976, "Religious liberalism depends on the principle that revelation is continuous. Meaning has not finally been captured." Unlike a religion based on rigid dogma that has been passed down and one is forced to believe if they want to be a part of the tradition, our tradition lies instead on tirelessly challenging the certainties of the past by constantly examining what we believe in the light of our new understandings. Even if we find those new understandings to feel uncomfortable in some way, ours is not a faith that encourages resting on theological laurels. Marcel Proust famously said, "The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes." In the coming year, after we've caught our breath and grieved our pandemic losses and celebrated the return of children's wonder back into our sanctuary, your board and I will be inviting this community to spend some time re-examining your mission, your vision, and your bond of union, to see if anything needs updating. Side note, and it was mentioned in the announcements, just as all healthy natural living systems do, our whole faith tradition even undergoes a process of renewal and refreshment every few decades or so. During this time, Unitarian Universalists collectively examine the very principles upon which this faith is grounded. And that work is happening right now across the country. And if you missed it, I want to encourage everyone here to consider signing up for the course I advertised in the newsletter this week so you can be part of this reimagining work. It's kind of exciting stuff. So, beyond church, what is this thing called beginner's mind? Why is it so important? And how do we hope to cultivate it? It has been said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But if you think about it, that's exactly what we do as adults. We're all nuts. We've gone to school. We've been told how the world works. We've figured out how we might fit into the puzzle we've been given. And we start getting with the program. Work, earn some money, make a contribution to society, maybe raise a family, maybe volunteer some of our time to a worthy cause. Wash, rinse, rest, and repeat. We find our way, and we craft a life. But how often do we actually stop to question it all? Why do we live where we live? Why did we stay in that unhealthy relationship for so long? Why do we keep working at a job that we know is slowly sucking our will to live? How come we don't paint anymore like we used to love to do? Our society does not encourage us to approach the world with a beginner's mind. And there are many really good reasons not to adopt this approach to all facets of life. Learning how to do something really, really well, like the way Amber plays piano, or the way John gets technology working. Thank you, John. I hope it's going. You're a maestro. Those things take hard work and discipline and practice to ensure constant improvement. And I surely don't want a surgeon approaching a triple bypass on any of us here while invoking that playful experimentation available in a beginner's mind. But there are a lot of places where approaching the world with a beginner's mind can be the key to unlocking unimaginable new ways of doing things. Patrick Buggy, in his blog Mindful Ambition, describes this state of mind as being free of preconceptions anything works, free of expectations around what will happen, filled with curiosity to understand things more deeply, and open to a world of possibilities, since you don't yet know what isn't possible. You know, to be like a kid. Is there anywhere in your life that you would like to be surprised by a couple of new possibilities? Any ruts you still feel stuck in? Any seemingly retractable systems or relationships you feel stuck in that you wish you could find new ways to approach? Now, I know you all are smart. You can do a quick Google search, and it will provide you with dozens of lists along the lines of 8 steps to cultivate a beginner's mind. You will see things like identify your expectations and flip them around, or go slowly, or detach from your ego's desire to be seen as an expert. That's a really hard one for most of us. Seriously, though, why not give it a try? I hesitate to offer a list of 8 or 10 steps here in this format because even if I list them up on the screen, none of them is very likely to stick. That's just not how we humans learn. So instead, I'm going to encourage you to try just one thing this week to begin strengthening your ability to approach situations with a beginner's mind. I'm going to ask each of you, when you leave here this morning, to stop for a moment in the prairie right outside of our doors here. And if you're at home and are able, take a moment after the service to just go outside. And then find something natural, be it a fallen leaf or a blade of grass, or maybe even a brave ant that has wandered out of its hill, ready for spring. Get down really close and just stare at whatever you've selected. Try not to think, this is a weed or this is an ant. Don't categorize, don't judge, just notice. Really notice all of the detail. Notice the intricacy. Notice the natural beauty. Wonder about how this piece of nature, to which you are fully connected, came to exist in this very moment and be in relationship with you. Just be in awe. Einstein said, "One who never experiences awe ceases to wonder." It is that lost ability to wonder anew, to be willing to be surprised, that keeps us stuck. Approaching issues with a beginner's mind or a healthy dose of intellectual humility can help to counter the limitations of intellectual hubris. In my vision of a Unitarian Universalist faith community, we are all learners. We come here to learn not only theology and history, but the actual convictions of our own minds and hearts. We are explorers, and explorers by definition are always facing new unknowns. They head straight for the thing that they don't know, and when they have thoroughly explored it, when they're finally familiar with something, they go on to something brand new, and once again plunge themselves into blissful ignorance. So I hope we will treasure our beginner's mind, that delicate state of being unafraid of unknowing. Now, to that end, I've decided to close my time with you here today in a completely new and unexpected way, and hopefully this will work. As a minister, I think there's an expectation sometimes that I come up here and I have all the answers. Maybe this community doesn't think that, but sometimes people do. But I came across this resource put out by a bunch of elementary school kids that is delivering more ministry to the world than I could ever hope to imagine. The children and teachers at Westside Elementary School in Healdsburg, California, realized that the world is feeling pretty heavy right now. So they decided to do something about it. What they ended up creating was a hotline that offers encouraging words of resilience from a group of kindergartners. So why don't we try to take a listen and see what wisdom they might have to offer all of us. This is the most amazing thing I've ever found. Let's see if it works.
Bienvenidos a Pep Talk, un proyecto creado por los estudiantes de Westside School.
Para un mensaje feliz, presiona 5.
Please listen to the following options for encouraging messages. If you're feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous, press 1. If you need words of encouragement and life advice, press 2. If you need a pep talk,
be grateful for yourself.
Do it. Live it up.
Be you.
I trust that you can make things right.
Be happy.
Try it again.
Believe in yourself.
If you're feeling up high and unbalanced, think of groundhogs.
It's okay to be different.
Always stay together.
Don't give up, power through.
We all really like you.
Never back down, never give up.
The world is a better place with you in it.
Everyone is capable of doing anything. You just have to let yourself shine.
Bro, you're looking great.
Be responsible.
Be nice.
Choose weird.
You are okay.
We love you.
If you're feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous, press 1. If you need words of encouragement and life advice, press 2. If you need a pep talk from kindergartners, press 3. If
you can do it, keep trying, don't give up.
If you're feeling mad, frustrated,
okay.
Or
wasn't that amazing? Those kids launched this just a few weeks ago. The teachers thought they might get a few hundred calls or so, and the kids would get a big kick out of it. Last time I checked, they were averaging 9,000 calls a day. And have raised over $40,000 for the school just in a week or two. I sent him $20. I mean, come on, that's like life-giving. And the number's there. If you're ever feeling bad, just pick up the phone. They make you feel better. These kids saw the world, and they put their young minds to work on a solution. Unburdened by the wisdom of, no one uses a phone to call anyone anymore, or why would anyone want to listen to a bunch of kids? They just put their minds together, came up with a simple solution to a big problem, and offered it to the world. And as the world does when you focus on trying to help, their efforts are being rewarded at a magnitude that defies belief. As you leave here today, this is my challenge to you. Be willing to discard what you think you know. Reopen yourself to wonder. Begin to play with possibilities not of what might be done to make Prairie a little bit more this, a little bit more that. Challenge yourself instead to think of what problems exist in the world and what you wish someone would create to help fix them. And then close your eyes, tilt your head back, gaze up at the clouds, and just let your mind go. There are so many things wrong in the world right now. And most all of the human-created wrongs are the way they are because wrong thoughts got stuck and reproduced over and over and over again. Now is the time for all of us to begin again as true beginners. I can't wait to see what we're able to create when we begin to reimagine what is possible together. May it be so.
Thank you, Reverend Matt.
All right. Closing words, I'm being reminded that what I chose, are Letting Go by Jay Wolin, who just sent me a Facebook message the other day. Are we a people of holding on or of letting go? Holding on to rigid ideas or letting go and opening our minds and our hearts to something new? Holding on to certainty of how things should be, or letting go and living with the uncertainty of new ways of being in the world. Holding on to what makes us comfortable, or letting go so we may grow, which can be uncomfortable. Holding on to what makes us safe, or letting go to make room to help others feel safe. With this flame, this symbol of our religion, let it be a symbol of burning up the ties that hold us back from being our true selves and reaching our true potential. Let it be a symbol of lighting a new way for us into a better tomorrow. And let it be a symbol of letting go, because holding on too long and too tightly is never good for the soul.